Welcome back to Up to the Miners. I'm your host, Connor Ramsden, and with me, as always, he's the Travis Kelce to my Jason Kelce. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
I thought it would be the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift.
That'd be good. But it's the Kelce Bowl tonight.
I know, but you look kind of like Travis Kelce.
Kelce versus Kelce.
And what I've been told is I look like a transgender Taylor Swift, so... I mean,
that would have been better. All right,
we could make a parody here.
I have regrets.
Sell millions.
I have regrets. How's your guitar playing?
Terrible. Why?
Oh, okay. All right. Gonna make less money than I thought. All right.
But I have the voice. That. I have the voice of a 16-year-old Nashville girl. So.
Yeah. So we're ready to rock. Okay. Well. It's Kelce mania tonight, but what we got to talk about is the Leafs, who are currently really? In the middle of Sweden mania. It's all about the Swedes.
It's all about William Nylander. It's not about the Swedes. It's about about one Swede. It's like Germany with Hitler. It's about one German.
Well, look, they had they had some nice ovations for the other Swedes.
Okay.
Callie Yarncroc got a nice little pop.
William Lagesson. I understand, but I as you watch the second game intros,
yeah,
the biggest pop.
Oh yeah, he's the star of the show. No doubt about that.
He's on, and you know what's funny is the Dutch have the same type of talk show where it's they're on the couch.
Yes,
it seems very laid back. That's such a European talk show style.
Oh, it was great.
I was watching that, and he's in a tank top, and I'm like. Yeah, it just makes sense.
Woman squeezing his bicep.
It just makes sense. It's European style.
He belongs, man.
He looked comfortable. Do you know how many people he was going up to? Like his, you could tell they were like his little cousins, and
yeah.
And you're like, I don't know. Like I totally understand that as somebody who has all his family back in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Like if I, which will never happen ever, but if I were to make it big somewhere here. If you go back to the country that you're originally from, you'd have way more family.
Oh, yeah. And he apparently bought 91 tickets.
Which everybody's like, that's a lot. He makes enough. Don't worry about it.
No, it's fine. But like still, the 91 tickets he had.
But that's a great
example. His whole family at both games. His dad, mom, his sisters, his grandma got to see him play for the first time, apparently. She had never seen him play.
And everybody's like, you make so much money. I saw this a few times. They're like, why don't you just fly them out to Canada or to Toronto? That is so much more money, and it's so much more of a time commitment for these people who all have
That's
lives.
What I was going to say. It's that the people who aren't famous have lives.
They have fucking lives.
Yeah.
They have lives, and they can't just go out to Canada or the States to watch a Wednesday night Philly game.
Yeah.
You came to Sweden, yeah. All these, the kids are in, they showed like little kids. They're in school.
Yeah.
They're in school. They're going to take a week off to come watch you play one game. It's not exactly. Worth it. So it's that's the thing is the reason he was also a big part of the show was I didn't see much about Callie Yarncroak's family.
No,
I saw a little I saw a little bit of like some other Swedes, Eriksson Ek. I don't think he's Swedish. Is he Swedish?
Yeah, he's Swedish.
Okay, so there you go. I saw like his grandmother in the stands, and you can tell that the Nylander family has very, very strong semen.
Because him and all of his family look exactly the same.
They look exactly the same, and there's clearly 100 of them.
His sisters look like him with longer hair and no beard.
They show this one clip when they first landed that he goes out and he's answering questions in like one of those weird POV camera angles.
Yeah.
And he's sitting next to a girl and I'm like, that is not, I was looking, I'm like, is that his girlfriend? No, that's his sister because she looks exactly like him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, this was a really cool. This is a really cool little weekend of stuff.
It seemed to have worked.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I don't know how much it worked because everyone in Sweden already watches hockey. But If the idea was that they would do like a really cool little weekend, then it absolutely worked.
That's actually a really, really good cool. point. That's a really good point. They have their own hockey league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty competitive.
Yep.
That's actually a really good point. And they obviously they'd be interested in watching NHL players.
For sure.
But I think you're right. I think they probably already watch the NHL games that they can. And besides that, I don't think you've created much more of a buzz, except for William Nylander. Well, yeah. But then once William Nylander gets onto the little stages and he's being praised and the chubby woman comedian is squeezing his biceps.
Yeah. So they said, too, that part of the reason William Nylander is so popular in Sweden is because most of these guys are really dedicated to like one Swedish team. Like a lot of these guys will play for a Swedish team when they grow up, right? And then come to the NHL. And so they'll be really, really – and Swedes apparently don't change teams very often. So they'll be like on this team for 3 or 4 years and then go to the NHL. And so fans of that team will be really big fans of that player when he goes to the NHL. But what William Nylander did is he played for only 2 years, I think, in Sweden, and he played for two different teams. So everyone in Sweden kind of likes him because they're not like, oh, that's their guy. They're like, well, he's actually all of our guy.
Okay, okay.
So he gets a little bit extra popularity from that. Because.
And I will say this. I mean, it's you barely have to say it, but he's really good.
Yeah.
Like, it's like everybody in the States loves Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
And that's not just because, you know, he's an Arizona kid and you know, he's half Mexican. And
he's cool and he's good.
He's cool and he's fucking great. And it's the same type of appeal you see from Nylander in Sweden.
Plus, he's beautiful. Which he has that extra little thing going.
Of course. But that's the thing is in Sweden, he's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But in the States, I think a lot of people would say Matthews is a good looking guy.
Sure. Yeah. We have different standards over here. We're not as attractive as the Swedes.
Oh, no.
Who is? Yeah. Let's be honest. Did you see the anthem singer for the first game? Because good Lord. She could not sing at all, and I did not care.
I wasn't looking at her voice.
Anyway, the Leafs, 2-0 in Sweden. Maybe we should play all of our games there.
Well, it was – now, everybody talked about, you know, I think it was, what, last year Colorado went to – or
yes.
Yeah, it was Colorado.
So, yeah.
So a team went to Sweden and –
that sounds right.
Struggled after.
Yes.
And you think about that and you're like, okay, if you go to Sweden and you get the ball rolling, and the nice thing is we got the ball rolling before Sweden.
That's right. We've now won 4 games in a row.
I mean, the shootout against Calgary.
Yep.
Bit of a shit show, I'll be honest.
Absolutely.
Because I watched the highlights. We watched the end of the game together, but bit of a shit show.
Yes.
The Vancouver game was fantastic.
One of their best games of the year.
One of their best games. And then, so you're taking that, you go to Sweden, and, you know, I don't know, one game went into overtime, and William Nylander scored the same goal against the same team that he scored
last year.
Three times now, at least last year.
Oh, yeah, three times. Yeah, that's right. He did it to Minnesota again this year, but he did it in overtime last year.
Exactly. So, like, at this point, I'm surprised they haven't figured out like,
that he's going to do the same move.
Because I'm pretty sure I watched, you know, you watch the goal and you're like, oh, my God. And then you watch the highlight. I'm pretty sure once Nylander took it wide, they had a shot from like the far left angle and it showed Nylander and it showed the Leafs bench. And like three players jumped up and they were like,
oh, my God, he's going to do it again.
And I, you know, you were just shocked and kind of not surprised that he would pull this off, but like still shocked that like in Sweden, in front of all these, you know, countrymen to pull that off is impressive. Yeah. I mean, we did, the Detroit game was a little rough at the start.
They need to, the only thing that, like, this Sweden trip was pretty perfect. The only thing it was missing was a William Nylander contract extension. which I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to complain about, but like they really should have just announced during the time they were in Sweden that we've signed William Nylander to a 8-year, whatever million-dollar contract, because that would have been perfect.
Well, you have, so, okay, I've been thinking about this a lot too. You have two options. You sign him right now,
mm-hmm.
and give him whatever number it is. I don't know what you think it would be if he signed right now. I think it would probably be 12.
I don't think he's getting 12.
You don't think he's getting 12? If you were to sign him right now, you don't think he's getting 12?
No, but
what do you think?
It's possible. I don't know. Like
I would
do it, but
right. So I in my head, I picture them just being like, let's bite the bullet. He's killing it. Let's keep this ball rolling.
Yeah.
Or you let him play this pace and maybe get 100 points.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes to you and goes, hey, I just had a 100-point season. It's 14 now, man, or I'm walking.
Yeah. I don't know. Or,
there's three choices. Or he slows down.
Yeah. I think that they know he wants to stay in Toronto, which is big. And so they're kind of operating on that side of it a little bit, thinking like, okay, well, you know, depending how he plays, the number's going to go up and down or whatever. But at the end of the day, he's going to give us the opportunity to sign him before he goes and gets it from somewhere else. Like, I think he's going to give the Leafs first crack at it. I think he's going to say, look, my number is whatever the number is. This is what I can get from somewhere else. I would like to play in Toronto for this number. If you don't do it, I'll go somewhere else.
I understand that, but Ramson, the problem with waiting till like,
oh, so it goes up, yeah.
It's teams are able to go to you, and you know, they say it's Tampa. I guarantee somebody calls you up and goes, hey, look, I'm not – there's a classic sign or scene in Seinfeld where George is talking to members of the Houston Astros.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, we would love for you to come work for the Houston Astros. And George is like, oh, so like – you want me to quit or something? And they're like, we can't say that. We're just talking. Yeah. He's like, we can't tell you to quit, but you know, we're just talking. Yeah. And you know as well as I do that eventually teams are going to start coming to Nylander and going, look, I'm not telling you what to do, but we're talking. We're having a conversation, and I just happen to throw $14 million a year.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about your contract. I'm talking about the stake. What?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's so I worry about waiting too long.
They should have signed him in the summer. I think you and I said this before he even came out and started playing amazing. We said they should have signed him in the summer. It should have been done already.
I agree, yeah.
But, you know, now.
Well, look at us. We're idiots.
Yeah. Let's talk about the positives here. The Leafs now. So, what was significant about that Calgary game in this 4-game winning streak is that this 4-game winning streak has been the start of Keith getting fed up and not playing the bad players that Brad Treliving signed. I believe Calgary was the first game where John Klingberg was scratched. I believe Vancouver was the first game where Ryan Reeves was scratched. And both games in Sweden, both Ryan Reeves and John Klingberg were scratched. And the Leafs have won 4 games in a row. Now, I want to talk about Klingberg first, because there is some weird injury stuff going on. And they said on the Elliot Friedman podcast that we're going to find out this week what the thing is. And apparently, I've read today, don't know if it's true, but I've read that apparently Chris Johnston said on some show that in one of his Sweden interviews over there, John Klingberg said that he really wants to play hockey and that he's not sure if he's going to be able to. So we might be at the end of the line here.
Well, I'm trying to think of a player that we've signed where it just goes downhill very quickly. And it's like, this is clearly something that was bothering him before he joined the team.
David Clarkson.
That's who came to my mind. Lupul a little bit. Lupul, MacArthur, yeah,
a little bit.
Clark MacArthur.
Guys were good before they got him.
No, I know, but you know,
I'm saying
Klingberg a while ago.
Clarkson, because he showed up, sucked immediately, and then it turned out he'd been injured the whole time. I think it's kind of the same with Klingberg. I also think the reason I'm still kind of upset that they signed Klingberg, although I'm a little bit less upset now that we know that it's injury. But the thing is, he's clearly been injured for like 2 years.
Well,
right? Because there's a point in his career where he's a really, really good offensive defenseman who can skate. And then all of a sudden he can't skate anymore and he becomes bad. And the Leafs picked him up a full year after that. Feel like he's been hurt the whole time.
Don't players go under physical tests?
You would certainly hope so. So I don't know what it is that they missed. It's definitely something in his hips, for sure, I think is what they're saying. He apparently limped onto the plane to go to Sweden. Apparently in Sweden, they said he practiced a total of like 30 minutes and didn't play in either game and then flew back on the plane. So I don't think he's doing well at all.
Okay, so because obviously we had like a whole half of a podcast about how bad it's been with mm-hmm. Klingberg.
Yeah.
And you hate to rag on a guy for being injured, but you do in your head, you're like, you pull the plug.
Yeah.
Pull the fucking plug. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Stop trying to jam this square peg into a round hole. Like, he's injured. I'll be honest. And Ramsen, you know this. There's episodes about it on the podcast. I was very excited about Klingberg.
Yep.
I assumed he was the missing piece for the cup many years ago.
Yep. In fairness, this started back when John Klingberg was good.
Of course.
It continued through the period where he wasn't, but it started when John Klingberg didn't suck.
Thank you.
I feel
Thank
like that's for, important.
I appreciate you giving me that credit. I appreciate you backing me up here. But it's crazy that it's gone downhill and it's gone downhill so fast.
Yeah.
We're what? I want to say two and a half months into the season.
Yeah. The Leafs have played 17 games.
And this 1 year, which imagine if this was happening. And they had have pulled the old, hey, it's a 3 year deal.
Yeah,
it's it's $3 million because we got him on 3 year. We got him on 3 years, so instead of 4.1 or 4.5, whatever the fuck they're paying him, we got him on 3 year deal, but we're paying him three.
Yeah, that would be horrible. We'd be screwed.
We would be so fucked. So. At least, and that's kind of where the issue with Ryan Reeves comes in.
Yes.
Is it's not a 1 year deal. It's a 3 year deal. And everybody's like, oh, it's what, 1.5?
It's 1.3.
1.3.
I think. And it's so you can bury 800K of it in the minors. So I think you're still stuck paying 500,000 off the cap every year. For no reason.
Yeah, for having Ryan Reeves, you know, running
not
shit
play.
And not playing and probably injuring kids in the minors.
I think they're just going to press box him on the Leafs. I think he's going to stay with the team and not play.
I'm so shocked. I don't think maybe I'm being naive here because obviously we've named a couple. But for two guys that were – because Bertuzzi's turned it around.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Bertuzzi has – I'm talking about like the
– Oh, yeah.
The,
we'll get to him. Yeah.
We'll get to him. Yeah. And Domi.
We'll get to those guys.
But two guys, Reeves and Klingberg, just signed, brought in, you know, pretty exciting stuff to take a nosedive within 17 games.
They're completely unplayable already.
We're scratching them. One's limping on the plane.
Yeah.
It's
And I gotta say this about Ryan Reeves too, because like it's for all the stuff that Ryan Reeves was supposed to bring, he didn't do really any of it. He didn't really fight anybody. He didn't do anything. And then the first two game fights. He got scratched, the Leafs had two fights. And they like completely stood up for each other in like a big way. And I don't even understand how you can watch that game and think like, oh, good, we got to put Ryan Reeves back in. Because like, just, it doesn't really matter. And Mark Giordano obviously did. I don't think Domi did, but that wasn't really much of a fight. But like, the thing is, it doesn't actually really matter if you like win that fight.
No.
The reason you do it is so that like the other team knows, hey, if you take a huge run at one of our guys, you're going to have to fight somebody. And so your team knows, this is the most important part, hey, these guys have my back out here. If somebody tries to run me for the entire rink, one of the boys is going to come have my back. And so like, I just don't think it's that important that whoever that guy is wins the fight. I think it's more about just the fact that they do it. And so then again, which we've been saying the whole time, What do you need Ryan Reeves for if Mark Giordano is going to jump in there? What do you need Ryan Reeves for if Max Domi is going to jump in there?
No, you hate to dumb it down, but like in a street fight, you'd rather have a guy that has your back,
yeah,
than a guy that could beat the shit out of everybody but might not show up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right, you know,
that's exactly it.
So it's that's. I mean, the Ryan Reeves deal when it was signed was exciting.
Yeah.
Because I think we all thought the same thing. You know, it's the Colt Knorr, Fraser McLaren, mm-hmm. old time. Like, look, we got one guy. I obviously everybody started shitting on him when he was playing poorly. But the reason they started shitting on him is because he wasn't fighting anybody.
Yeah. He was just playing badly.
He was just a bad player.
Yeah.
Which started to happen with Fraser McLaren and Colt Knorr. Because I remember back in the day when they were line mates, and if they were on the ice, you knew either they were getting scored on or they were getting in a fight. And if they got scored on, you were upset because they didn't get into a fight.
Yes.
You were upset about it because you're like, yeah. Hey, before they scored, you should have started fighting somebody.
Yeah. What are you doing? Why do you think you're here to play hockey?
So whenever Ryan Reeves... I, there were games. He's directing traffic. I remember he was chasing pucks in the neutral zone.
Oh, he was horrible.
And he can't skate. He's slow. And again, same thing as Klingberg. Maybe it's an injury. Maybe.
Who knows?
Who the fuck knows? But at that point, I don't know. Just go with your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And if your strengths aren't your fists, tell the coach, hey, don't play me.
Oh yeah, 100%. Say like, hey, I can't do it right now. I need a couple games. You know what I mean?
Because look,
hey, I got a sore like hand or something. I can't fight for a couple games. So maybe give Bobby McMahon a run or something.
Self-awareness is huge.
Yeah,
and hockey players have a lot of it, and they have a very little amount of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like a lot of guys, they're self-aware. They're like, oh shit, I got to do this better. I got to do this better. And that's the top tier guys.
Yep.
You see them, they're like, oh, you know, I got to figure out my angles. I got to figure out my passes. I got to figure out my shot. And then you have the bottom tier guys. They're like, I'm just going to go out there and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad that they're not in the lineup because, we can talk about it from a positive standpoint now, I guess, because so far what they've done instead has worked out. Timothy Liljegren, obviously terribly injured as well, which means that the Leafs had to play both of their spare defensemen, Simone Benoit and William Lagesson. They've both been good. They've played together as a pair and they've been fine. Lagesson, especially.
I was just about to say, I've enjoyed Lagesson. He's actually been a solid defenseman.
100%.
And someone I am very comfortable with on the blue line.
I'll be happy. Like, I'd be fine with him just being on the team the rest of the year.
See, how many games has Simone Benoit played?
I think just a couple. Yeah.
Okay. Because I watched him Sunday morning. I'm dialed in. I haven't had anything to drink. I'm watching the Leafs game just on coffee.
Yeah. Good way to watch it.
just on coffee and 9 hours of sleep.
High focus.
It's high focus. I found him being out of position a lot.
Yeah, he's not the best. He's okay. Definitely like a low-level NHLer, I would say.
I saw him being constantly replaced. It was a shift with him and Tavares, Bertuzzi, and Nylander. Are you giving me a thumbs up? Do you see that?
Know. I don't know. I didn't do anything.
Oh, shit. The thumbs up just showed up on your face.
I know. I saw that, too. I don't know how that happened.
Well, I'm doing a good job. no, but I thought that was moral support. Tavares, Nylander, Bertuzzi on the same line. And it's Benoit, and I'm pretty sure it's Lagesson.
Yeah.
And Benoit he's going up the boards into the offensive zone. He's being switched around. I saw Tavares like look around like, what are you doing? So a little bit maybe getting used to the system, but yeah. I mean, he's big.
I was expecting him to be really bad, and he's not. Which is nice because nope. Like I know he was injured during the preseason. Like they said he was injured during the preseason, but he was horrible. Like he was so bad. And so I was kind of a little bit worried that he was going to be playing. And he's been, you know, he's not been like great, but he's been okay. He reminds me of when we played like Jordy Ben last year. I was like, well, he's fine, I guess.
Right.
I don't want him in the lineup. But if we have to play somebody, at least he's not that bad. Lagesson, on the other hand.
Well, there were times.
I'm cool with him just playing.
No, Lagesson,
I like him.
It's interesting because people were talking about the Zadorov trade.
Yes.
Right? Like that was, you know, apparently that was a big thing and he was coming down and he was going to show up and play for the Leafs. But, you know, it's... If you've got Riley Brody, McCabe, Giordano, mm-hmm. Lagesson, and
Liljegren,
when he gets healthy, that's not bad.
No, that's fine.
I don't see a reason to trade for Zadorov and give away someone probably from the D or from the O. Like,
yeah.
Like, what are you thinking there? That doesn't make any sense.
I'm pretty happy with Lagesson. I think he looks like an NHLer. I think if they're smart, they'll try to extend him for another season. Try and just get that done early because, I mean, honestly, they signed him to a very, very small deal. And he's probably perfectly happy to stick around now, given the amount of ice time he's getting.
He's probably getting a great amount of ice time. It's the Leafs, so you know it's a good organization. And if you get in there early before he starts, it's the same thing with Nylander.
Exactly. Like
if you get in there early before he starts really killing it, he's going to go to free agency and they're going to be like, you did what on the Leafs?
Yeah.
We would love – it's the Campbell effect.
Yeah, 100%.
But then he's going to be in the AHL in a year and a half and taking a cold plunge.
But it seems like Keith likes him. Like I think he's a good player. Okay, so I do want to point out two things. The first is that David Kampf, the entire time he's been on the Leafs, it's been a while. I think we have a pretty good idea of what David Kampf is and what he isn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And David Kampf is a good defensive center. David Kampf needs, I think, a very specific type of winger to play with because his thing is he's really good in the defensive zone. He's not great in the offensive zone, but he's not great at taking the puck from the defensive zone to the offensive zone. What he's good at is you don't have the puck, he gets it back. But he needs somebody to then take it to the other end of the ice, and then he goes off.
Okay.
And I think part of the problem with our fourth line has been that he's been playing with Reeves, and so there's just been no way for them to get the puck out of the zone. So even if Kampf gets it back, it just stays in our defensive zone. Kampf is at his best with fast players, basically, who can move the puck, like Ilya Mikheyev, Pierre Engvall. That's usually who we've played him with, right?
Well, it's an interesting point because for a while there, they were saying like, oh, you can't have Kampf on the third line, but he might need to play higher than the fourth because fourth line players don't play well to his style.
But I think now they figured it out because now they've put him with two really fast wingers. In Gregor and Bobby McMahon. And now it's actually working again because now he's getting the puck. Those two are skating it down the ice and then they're getting off.
Bobby McMahon has been quite good. And yeah. A player who scored the first goal in this Leaf season?
This year? Noah yeah. Gregor.
Yeah. And I remember watching that game and the broadcast brought it up. It's speed. And ever since then, I've watched a lot of the games, and Gregor is fast.
Oh, yeah, he flies.
He flies. So that's a fantastic spot to, like, for your fourth line to have a speedy winger who, honestly, he can also – he's tough.
Yeah.
I've seen him get in there.
This is what I said when we lost Sam Lafferty, who has actually had a great season.
He's been killing in Vancouver, yeah.
The reason I wasn't too upset about that is because Noah Gregor is kind of Sam Lafferty. They're really pretty much the same thing. They're super fast. They can both shoot, and they can't really do a whole lot other than that, but they can do those two things. And for a guy who's going to play in your bottom six, like, that's pretty good.
That's
he doesn't need good to do more than that.
No. Well, he's not Willie Mealy. Like, just
exactly
let him do his thing and you know, be an effective fourth line player.
And so with that, they've kind of solved the fourth line, which was a huge problem for them. We've got to give some credit to the third line now, because it's really working. They figured out what to do with Max Domi. Nick Robertson, I mean, is just up now. Like, I don't think he's ever going back down.
Dude, the effort, the speed.
Yeah.
This kid, unless he obviously gets injured, which, given his history,
let's hope not,
you know, knock on wood, but it might happen, is just unbelievable. I've loved did you watch that? Obviously you recorded it, but like, against Minnesota, they had Matthews, Nyes, Robertson.
Yeah.
And I think at one point they were just trying it. They're like, let's see what happens. Nyes is bodying people off the puck and Robertson is buzzing around.
Yep.
And they got Matthews belongs. The puck in the slot and he belongs. I think it's due.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of debate near the end of last year and the year before that, where they're like, is this kid going to be anything? He's been injured. He's been hurt. It's not really going anywhere. Don't give up.
I mean, we just wanted to watch him play hockey. I don't think either of us really thought it would happen this quick, but you and I both said, if he gets to play hockey, we might see him in the NHL.
It was on the broadcast. I think either the Minnesota Detroit game, they're like, he has never played 44 games.
That's crazy.
In a season.
That's crazy.
Or like, you know, before, whatever.
Yeah.
So, and you're like, oh my, like COVID, you know, everybody likes to talk about COVID as like this, you know, big stopping block, but like it's so true. It's affected a lot of hockey players' development. I talk to kids at my work. They talk about how they fucked them up because, you know, they spent 3 years inside, not going to school, not being able to do, like, we got lucky. We all had jobs.
Yeah.
We're in our 20s. We were kind of established. We did the school thing. We got to try our sports.
It would be better if we were like 40, but yeah.
Well, but my brother had kids and that sucked.
Yeah, that's tough.
Right? So, you know, because they don't go to school.
Yeah.
Imagine having a fun. So I think we were lucky. we were in that nugget, buddy.
Yeah.
We're no kids, you know. At least we have a job that pays and can get us through the whatever happens. So you feel for these kids, the Robertsons, even Lafreniere. He's right now. We're watching this with the Rangers. Right now, he's killing it.
He is, yeah. He's figured it out.
Do you know when he was drafted?
2018?
No. No, 2020.
2020. Oh, yeah.
The throes of COVID.
Oh, Grant. Wow. Yeah. No, plus two, the he wrong was, he team. He was drafted. Kind of.
Why?
Because, like, they were playing him on the, like, fourth line and the third line and stuff. It's just not. If he had gone to, like, a bad team who could have played him, like, think of, like, what Connor Bedard gets to do this year or what Adam Fantilli gets to do this year.
That's a good point.
He ended up on a team who was, like, no power play time for you. We're trying to win the cup. You're on the fourth line.
That's interesting. Well, but that, so they signed Panarin, that helped. And, but I still remember it was COVID. It was digit, like, you know, Zoom draft.
Yeah.
And they panned to the new, to the Times Square, and they had the big billboard up of Lafreniere, and they panned out, not a soul in the streets.
That is COVID. Sad.
So, like, you know, you see that and you're like, oh, you're not getting the experience. You're not getting the practice. You're not getting the reps. Yeah. And Robertson was around the same time. So I've loved his game. Hopefully this is it.
We have a new great. And I got to say, too, like him and Domi, I never would have thought that it would be this perfect. But, like, it's perfect. They fit together perfectly. Yeah. It's like they had like instant chemistry. Like the first game they played together, it was like they've been playing together for years.
No, that instant chemistry. And I mean,
I've never seen either of them play as well as they do together.
Well, and that's, I mean, if you think about it, like, has Robertson been online with a pure passer?
No, never.
And similar to Knies, if you watch Knies on like the first line or the third line, he's doing the Hyman-esque moves.
Yes.
He's digging the puck out. He's in front of the net. He's doing all the stuff. He's perfect for that first line.
Yeah.
And I think we're slowly starting to see, in my opinion, it's Knies, Matthews, Marner.
Yep.
Bertuzzi, Tavares, Nylander.
Yep.
And Domi, Robertson, and Yarncroc, thank you.
Who's also perfect on that line because somebody has to play defense.
Somebody has to somebody has to back check.
And also, he can shoot.
It's not a bad shot.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really is kind of a perfect fit. And let's take a little break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the other really nice fit we've seen recently, which is Tyler Bertuzzi on that line with John Tavares and William Nylander. It's time to talk about the greasiest Toronto Maple Leaf, Tyler Bertuzzi. He's been playing a lot better.
Well, that's interesting with Tyler Bertuzzi. We're complaining about him a lot.
But at the beginning, yeah.
He looks like... No, we were. But he looks disgusting.
Yeah, that's part of... I like that,
though. You like that?
That part, I'm positive on that part.
So he's an ugly son of...
Yeah. No, I like that part. I'm a fan of the fact that he looks absolutely disgusting. Like he walked right out of the dump.
Well, he looks like, what's the trash can monster that lives on Sesame Street?
Oscar the Grouch.
The Grouch. He looks like Grouch.
He does look like Oscar the Grouch. It's a big, greasy mess, and I love it. That's my favorite part, to be honest.
Well, I mean, we all saw the game against Boston where he was giggling on the bench. That was a big storyline a couple weeks ago. Yeah. But since then, I mean, you know what's funny is you always hear this. The Leafs media is too hard.
Yeah.
They're too hard on people. But guess what? I remember I worked a job once and halfway through the summer, it was a summer job. So the manager called me and he's like, hey, man, you're like really bad at this. And he's like, you're really bad at this. And you better step it up or you're gone. And there is nothing more motivating than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I assume a kick in the pants for Bertuzzi might have helped.
Well, he was playing on the fourth line for a bit there.
Yeah.
And we do also know that he was a bit injured, which is kind of becoming a theme here. But he was a little bit hurt. And
that's fair.
He also seemed a little bit confused about what he was supposed to be doing a lot of the time. And now that they've put him on this line with Tavares and Nylander, he seems like he knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing.
That's a good point.
He's doing it a lot better.
Well, they really tried to make him the new Bunting, the new Hyman.
Yep.
And You know,
turns out that was Matthew Nyes instead.
But you know as well as I do, you can't replace a hymen.
Yeah.
They really try to shoehorn him in there, but they have him on the second line now, and it's working beautifully.
That's clicking.
Because Nylander he can score, but he's a dope passer.
Yep. Yeah, he is.
And Tavares kind of the same. He's
exactly
a play. I say first, Tavares can get the puck out of those areas. It's okay. You're back.
All right.
Tavares can dig the puck out of those areas.
Yeah.
And get it to you in the front of the net. And that's where Bertuzzi, and we saw it in Sweden.
He looked great in Sweden. It's the best hockey he's played.
He looked fantastic.
Yeah. It is interesting. Like, I think they finally found the way that this team is supposed to fit together, which is nice. I'm sure Brad Treliving's a little bit fucking embarrassed that it's not with the guys that he signed, but you know, too bad.
Yeah.
Do a better job.
No, but at least the pieces are there, and he's you know, it's Keith's job to put it together.
Yep. And he figured it out. It took him less time than I thought it was going to be honest, because it was such a mess that normally you'd think it would take a bit longer than this.
Well, you remember at the start of the season when it was like the final rosters were set and people were like, oh, this is probably going to be the line and this is probably, but like that was just based on like last year.
Just and guessing.
Guessing.
Yeah.
And it's taken 17 games. And I think my favorite line is the Bertuzzi, Nylander, Tavares line.
I agree. Yeah.
And you know, if, on a lot of teams, that's a first line.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of like, I wanted to bring this up, but isn't it kind of crazy that Austin Matthews is tied for the league lead in goals, and it's still incredibly obvious that he hasn't been our best player?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like,
yeah.
It's Nylander, like, by far. Now. And Austin Matthews is tied for the league lead in goals.
Yeah.
He might score 60 again.
he's so dominant. He's so dominant.
He might score 60 goals again. And like, so far the team MVP is still Nylander.
Well,
it's insane.
You can tell he's going for the money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he deserves it. We can talk about the goalies a little bit. Wohl has cooled down. He hasn't been the best goalie in the NHL anymore.
He's cooled down. I watched because he played in Calgary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I watched those highlights and we watched the end of the game. It was okay. He played really, I mean, that first goal against Minnesota was kind of shit.
Yeah.
But after that, you kind of saw him figure it out, and it's the classic thing. He's steady. He's against the post. There was no over dramatic. It was right in the chest. It was right in the chest, and he would always get it.
I do still like him better than Samsonov right now, but I will say Samsonov has also kind of got his shit together kind of nice. He looks a lot less terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been fantastic, but I mean, he was okay against Detroit, and he was okay against Vancouver.
Well, that's the thing, is he played against Vancouver, which, you know, they're the better team out of Vancouver, Calgary. But, like, you know, he played quite well.
Yeah, he did. He looked good. So, yeah, I mean, the goaltending is in an interesting place because you're kind of hoping that Wohl can just kind of keep it together, and we'll see. Like the fact that Samsonov, like, if Samsonov can get to a point where, like, we're not like, ah, oh, shit, he's playing tonight, then I'll be happy.
Well,
I just want him to be okay.
That's the dream.
Yeah. And I think we can get there because he was last year.
Well, that's the thing. Last year, he won us a round.
Yeah. And it hasn't been that long.
And everybody's like, he was such a great, and he was, I mean, we got to think, like, if we think back to the regular season last year, he was quite good.
He was very good.
He was quite good. So, I don't know, like a couple games in, I understand everybody's excited about Wool. And I think the reason they are is because they're looking for, you know, the next save,
the future,
the savior. They want that.
Yeah.
And Samsonov is a guy that went to arbitration this year, and they kind of were like, hey, you got to sign this 1-year deal. And he's like, fuck, all right, I'll do it. But it wasn't very amicable.
I mean, Samsonov ended up on the Leafs because both the Leafs and Samsonov were like the last two people at the dance in the first place. That's how this happened.
It's like how me and Ramson dated a dance at prom.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, hopefully he can figure it out and we can have two goalies who are okay. Do you want to talk about some teams around the league who aren't the Leafs? Cause I don't think we've got to do that yet this season.
Let's do it.
Do you remember a time other than right now where three guys on the same team were leading the league in scoring?
Is that still a fact right now?
Three guys on the Vancouver Canucks are tied for the league point lead.
It's JT Miller, it's Elias Patterson, and Quinn Hughes.
Yes.
And how many points do they have? Do you mind looking that up?
I think it's 28. I looked up earlier, but I'll have another look. I think it's 28.
Because that, I mean, we all 28. Thought all three. Who's the next?
It is Pasternak, Nylander, and Kucherov tied for 27.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Nylander's going to win the Hart.
Speaking of tough contract decisions, Elias Pettersson's a free agent after this season too.
Yeah, but I think Vancouver has some wiggle room.
I think they have about as much wiggle room as the Leafs do.
doesn't a bunch of stuff come off the books?
I think I think it's possible. The same way I think it's possible the Leafs can re-sign William Nylander. But in the same way, it's not going to be the easiest thing.
Listen, let's do one for one, Pettersson for Nylander, call it a wash.
I would do that, actually. I really like Willie, but I would probably do that. Pettersson is something else. But I don't know. That's a tough one, actually.
Well, it's
pretty even trade.
The photos of Pettersson as the years go by, because they do that once in a while on Instagram, like the NHL will put out, like, and he looks like I did when I was, you know, 14 years old.
Yeah.
And now he looks like Joe Rogan.
Yeah, he's getting big. Same with Nylander, though, to be honest. He was a pretty skinny little kid.
And I know, jacked. But Pettersson shaved his head. He looks crazy.
Yeah, he does.
Nylander at least has kept like the hair and
it's a handsome guy.
A little bit of the facial structure.
I got to bring this up too, because like remember the first couple weeks of the season where everybody was like Jack Hughes is going to win the MVP. Remember he was completely crazy.
Yes, he had like 14. Yeah. Points in like five games.
And now we have to question whether or not his brother is going to win the MVP.
Well, it's...
because if Quinn Hughes leads the league in points as a defenseman, I feel like you have to give him the MVP.
It's so interesting with Vancouver. And, you know, we don't want to spend too much time on them because they're Vancouver.
No, it's a fascinating team. I could talk with them for a while. They're the weirdest team ever.
Last year, it was down and out.
Yep.
It was discussions of selling the farm.
Yeah.
Demko was out the door. JT Miller was a Pittsburgh Penguin. And I don't know if it's just like a year or a summer off and getting the coach to be in there for a little longer because it was Bruce. There it is.
Yep.
Who named this podcast?
Our father.
Our father. But like, yeah, just I guess if you really think about it, the talent was there.
They're a weird team though, because like they kind of suck except for like five guys, but the five guys are amazing.
Well, now that you mentioned the 28 points, it was the first three players ever to reach 78 points It was a Sportsnet stat I saw on Instagram. They were like the Patterson, Quinn Hughes, JT Miller, first three players to reach 78 points, which I'm guessing now was what, like a couple days ago?
78 points. What do you mean? Oh, like combined. Oh, yeah.
In the first 20 games.
Yeah. No, it's – and Demko has been the best goalie in the league by, like, most advanced stats. So they have the best goalie in the league. They have the highest scoring three players in the league. I think I was looking at this, too. Let me just check this because I thought it was kind of crazy. Yeah, there it is. Filip Hronek is the fourth highest scoring defenseman in the league after Hughes, Makar, and Hedman. So it's like – it's literally, they have like five, and Besser has a ton of goals. It's like five guys and a goalie. And then the rest of their team still kind of sucks.
I mean, they have
some depth. Like, Mikheyev's good. Kuzmenko. Like, they have some guys who are good. But
no.
It is mostly like, just those five guys.
If you just think going about, crazy. If you think about that Hronek trade.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, I think everybody was like, that's a little rich for my blood.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
he's been great. It's a weird... yeah, and no one really thought that it made sense because of how, where their team was in, like, the standings. No one thought it made sense because, like, you're playing another offensive guy with Quinn Hughes. But, like, they've been perfect together.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely an interesting team. Quinn Hughes right now leads the league in assists. He leads the league in points, and he leads all defensemen in goals. He is having a hell of a season.
These Hughes brothers.
Yeah, they're something. They are something. I was looking at the goalies too, because I thought this was kind of interesting. So once again, just like last year when it was Ullmark for the whole season, Jeremy Swayman is leading the league in save percentage. Boston just, you know, they're like, well, oh, we'll just play our other goalie. He'll get win the Vezina.
Boston has no issues out through the lineup except for maybe a wife beater or two.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. It just, they're doing quite well.
Yeah, that is not a surprising arrest. Just want to throw that one out there.
No?
Lucic, no.
Oh.
I can't say that one. Can't say that one surprised me. You know what did surprise me? When I was looking at the goalie stats, I expected to see an Islanders goalie in the top three and the top two for save percentage. I didn't expect it to be Semyon Varlamov. What the fuck? What happened there?
He's always been good, though.
He has always been good.
I've never disliked him.
No, not as a player. I think, you know, speaking of wife beaters.
it's these.
But he is a good hockey. He has always been a good hockey player.
Yes.
Jordan Binnington, speaking of lunatics, having a good season.
Well, I mean, Jordan Binnington is supposed to be going to Edmonton for Jack Tiny Nipples Campbell.
That would be fascinating. I can't wait to talk about the Oilers. Just one more guy first. Connor Bedard. He started a little bit slow. He has 9 goals and 15 points now.
Well, you went to the game that he played in Toronto.
That's right.
And that was the game they lost.
The Leafs lost, yeah.
The Leafs lost, and Bedard had no points.
No points.
Which everybody would be shocked by. Because if you're, you know, early on in the season with all the rot, you assume if you're losing to Chicago, you're losing to Bedard.
Probably.
You're not losing to Corey Perry.
Yeah.
You're not losing to Taylor Radish. Or
Nick Foligno,
exactly. Or, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
Peter Mrazek.
Yeah.
But he's so after that game, in like just as a fan of like the sport and trying to keep an eye on this kid, you're like, oh man, like that's kind of disappointing. maybe it's not, you know, maybe still getting used to it.
It's going to take a bit, yeah.
He has picked it up.
Oh, yeah.
And picked it up in a big way, Ramsden.
Yeah.
And this guy, I mean, it's must watch.
He's a special player. And, like, I'm glad, because I would have been really bummed if it turned out he wasn't amazing. But, no, he is. He's going to score a ton of goals.
Well, if who's the top three this draft?
Bedard, Fantilli, and Carlson.
Carlson has 6 goals?
He's been playing pretty well, too. Yeah.
Dude, actually, he had a hat trick. He had a hat trick.
Yeah.
I watched Carlson score a hat trick.
They've all been playing pretty well. Carlson has 6. Fantilli has 4. Matthew Nyes also has 5. Just throwing that out there.
Wow. I mean, he's been dynamite, but it's not this, it's not, you know, I'm talking about like the three draft, the top three this year. And I've been seeing a lot online that this might be one of the best top three we've ever seen.
It might be good. Yeah. They all look really good.
Leo Carson. I mean, I'm telling you, I've watched his hat trick. It was dynamite.
Yeah. And you know what Fantilli does, which like is really that he will do every like deal for kind of forget about him. And then like every 2 weeks, some clip of something that he did will pop up and you'll be like, holy shit.
You forget
that.
You
and forget. Like he's on Columbus now. And like every time I'm like, is that Rick Nash? What the fuck? Well, he's back.
Columbus sucks.
Yeah.
They scratch line. Eh? They're healthy, terrible. Like,
healthy scratch line.
They healthy scratch
Bench Gaudreau,
the second overall pick in 2016.
It's like Babcock never left.
Wow. You know what's funny is I was listening to the 32 Thoughts podcast today. Because, you know, they put out so many, I can't listen to all of them, but they put the one I listened to today, they were saying like, oh, like they already went through the Babcock thing. And I'm like, I totally forgot. Like once the season started rolling.
Forgot what happened.
You forgot that that Babcock was the coach.
Well, plus, like, I mean, the guy, whoever they hired instead of Mike Babcock is coaching exactly like Mike Babcock. So,
well, they're benching Gaudreau, they're scratching Line A, and I get it. You got to try. Like, I was excited about Columbus.
Yeah,
this year, you know,
not worth watching.
Ivan Provorov, you know, Damon Severson, you're like, oh,
they tried.
That doesn't sound too bad, does it, Ramsden?
Nope, but they suck.
But they suck.
All right, well, speaking of teams who suck, and that were kind of a surprise.
Don't talk about my mother that way.
let's talk about the Oilers before we leave, because, my God, it's the funniest thing. It's the funniest thing currently happening, by far. It's not close.
Well, it was. It all started when they played San Jose.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it all started when Jack Campbell bought the Colts.
I mean, yes, that was August. You're right. That was August.
It all started when Jack Campbell bought a Colt, though.
It's the stupidest thing. It's, you know, Joe Rogan endorses it. It's all these muscle heads. We live in Canada. Just go outside.
You live in Edmonton, dude.
You live in Edmonton.
Just go roll around the snow for a bit.
Go. I remember when I was a kid.
Fill up your trash can with some snow.
I remember when I was a kid, my brother had a fever.
Yeah.
My brother Luke had a fever. You know what my dad said? Take your shirt off, go roll it around the snow. I was like,
that'll work.
You know, I was like 11. I'm like, I don't think that's how this works. I
not
don't
a scientist,
think that's how this works. But it's, I, you know, I'm give like, I'm shot. Failing grade 11 math here, but we'll try. But I don't understand the cold plunge. No. And clearly it's not working.
No, because I mean, I still think the funniest thing out of this whole Edmonton Oilers being a disaster thing
is his tiny nipples.
His tiny nipples are the second funniest thing. But I think the funniest thing is that they fired Jay Woodcroft. Like this was somehow his fault. They're like, hey, Connor McDavid isn't scoring.
They had Ramsden. They had to try something.
I know, but like they're like, hey, Connor McDavid isn't scoring and our goaltending is the worst in the like history of the NHL. I'm going to blame the coach. Why can't you win games anyway?
Yeah, that's true. I think you just have to try something.
I guess, but like I just feel bad for them where they're looking at this and they're like, well, your goalie's letting in 6 goals every night. I blame you.
Yeah, that's true.
You want to go? Let's go through some of the wild stats here. The Oilers are 28th in the NHL. They Jack Campbell is now in the AHL, still getting lit up. Stuart Skinner is plus on the NHL team and is playing so badly that he has now matched Jack Campbell's save percentage. The save percentage that got Jack Campbell sent down. Stuart Skinner now has the exact same one, which is .873.
Well, that was a big thing again when they realized they were going to have to send one of them down. When they realized the goaltending was a problem, they're like, Campbell's, nobody's going to claim Campbell.
No.
Stuart Skinner, somebody's going to take.
I mean, maybe, but
I think so. He's younger. He was an all-star last year. I could see him being taken.
Well, tonight they're playing Calvin Pickard against Florida, and he's already let in 4 goals.
Oh, my God. All right.
It's not going great.
Listen, I still like a wool for McDavid trade.
Big offseason signing, Connor Brown, has 0 points. Connor McDavid is 5th in scoring, not in the league, but on the Edmonton Oilers. Oh, boy. It's something else. Although Connor McDavid has 2 goals tonight, so, you know, maybe tonight's when it turns around.
If he gets a hat trick and he takes over the lead?
If he gets a hat trick and they still lose anyway, that might be the funniest possible outcome.
If he gets 4 goals and they still lose,
they might though. Like, I wouldn't rule that out at all.
If he gets 4 goals and then they lose, then I'd be like, "Welcome to the club, McDavid. You're a Leaf."
Yeah. Then he has to be a Leaf, right? Like it. Honestly, I'm glad it's a disaster because I was sick of I'm sick of them ruining Connor McDavid's career. And I hope that it gets bad enough that he finally forces his way out and goes play somewhere where he can actually win a Stanley Cup, because I think he deserves one.
I don't think he's leaving.
Can you imagine how stupid it would be if he plays for Edmonton his whole career and never wins a cup? That would be sad, like as a hockey fan.
I think eventually they would figure it out.
I would be sad, like, just as a random fan, if he never won one. Like, imagine if Crosby never won one.
Well, it's everybody likes to bring up the Gretzky's been traded.
Yeah.
You talk about, because when you bring up, it's like
Voldemort. Oh, I don't think they'll trade him.
No, I understand that, but it's like Voldemort when you bring up, like, trading somebody like McDavid or Matthews. They're like, let's not talk about it.
You play Hogwarts Legacy.
I'm really good at it. Actually, no, I'm not. Can we bring Clay Jones on here? You don't want to talk about it because you don't want to bring bad juju.
Yes.
But I don't know. Like, the reason McDavid was or Gretzky was traded was because he had already won cups.
Yeah, and I think the owner was broke.
Yeah, the owner's broke, but you don't think that if he was the best player in the world and they hadn't won a cup, he'd be like, oh, let's like keep trying.
No, he would have been like, yeah, let's go. Switch it up. I know. I think that's kind of the thing, right? Like, eventually, I don't think they'll ever trade him, but I think like they'll only trade him if he says, hey guys, this is my last year in Edmonton. But like that could happen. I mean, like you saw what Jeff Merrick said, where he said like people around McDavid say he's really getting pissed off with this whole thing every year.
Yeah, well. Huh? Which, I mean, who doesn't, like, nobody likes losing. So,
nope. Especially not when you think you should be winning. It's actually much worse.
But let's be honest. There's no team you're going to go to where you're not going to lose. You're going to lose.
Yeah, but...
No, I understand that. But as we see with the Canucks and even the Oilers, who a lot of people had at the top of the list going into the season, it's a bit of a coin flip once the season starts.
You don't know.
You don't know. And I understand you're Connor McDavid and you're the best player in the league and you're supposed to be able to take over every game. But like at a certain point, you're like, hey, like I got to be on a team that can win. And that is a lot harder to pick out who can win than who can't.
I think the thing with Connor McDavid, and like this has kind of always been true the whole time he's been on Edmonton, where they've been like kind of good, is people will talk about how Edmonton's kind of good, but really it's pretty easy to win when Connor McDavid has 150 points.
Well,
I don't want to like be a dick here or whatever, but like it's pretty easy. It's not hard. They're not doing anything special. Like they have the best player in the world and he's playing better than everyone else. And so they're winning. And if you're Connor McDavid, like after like right now, he knows he hasn't started the season great. And he's been injured and in and out of the lineup and whatever. And he knows he's not playing that well. But he's got to be thinking, like, what the hell? Like, you guys can't win at all if I'm not scoring two goals every game. Like, if I don't have 150 points, we're one of the worst teams in the entire league. Like, he's got to be thinking, like, I could be on a different team that could at least be okay without me. Or could at least be, like, the rest of the team could win some games.
Yeah.
And this team on Edmonton, he's like, if I'm not the best player in the entire league by far, like we can't win shit.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I mean, that's gotta be a hard feeling, right? To just know like, oh, like no matter what all these guys say about like, oh, they've got, you know, now they have Ekholm and Nurse and all these different guys. Like at the end of the day for him, he's gotta be like, well, really, it's still all me though.
Well.
I still don't really have help.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the nice thing about the Leafs is it's spread out.
Yeah.
Matthews is the de facto best player on the Leafs.
Yeah.
No doubt in anybody's mind. I understand that Nylander right now is doing a lot better. Or not a lot better. Let's be honest.
But it's Matt. Yeah. No,
he's still leading in goals.
Yeah. And he's like, still like the better player overall.
The better player overall. But like it's eventually you need players like Marner, like Tavares, like Nylander, and everybody complains about the Leafs core taking up too much cap. But I mean McDavid might not be eating up too much cap, but he is taking a lot of that, like he's taking up all that space in the sense where he's playing what 25 minutes a night because they want him to get 150 points and that's doable for a while, but you're going to have off seasons. Look at Matthews last year, 40 goals, 40 goals. Everybody went, man, he's off.
Yeah.
It's an off year.
Yep.
So if McDavid doesn't get 150 points, everybody's going to sit there and go, hey, man, you had an off year. 86 points, not enough. That's not good enough.
But, like, if he has an off year, they should still be good. You know what I mean?
But that's my point, Ramston. Yeah. My point is you look at that and you go, okay, look, you're not going to score 150 points every year. You know, because if that's true, you'd be – Gretzky time, you know, that's just not feasible. Everybody, they might have looked at that and been like, oh, this could happen every year. You're insane if you think that can happen. It can't happen every year. You have to cut it down. Yeah. You have to realize that your teammate and the Connor Brown signing, I think that was their goal. They were like, look, we'll bring him in. He might be able to take a little pressure off. Dreisaitl, Kane, Nuge. Hey, you know, that's a pretty decent top six.
It's been a disaster without him. It's been a complete disaster without him. And, like, I think, honestly, it looks bad on Dreisaitl, too, who, I mean, I've never been a huge fan of, to be perfectly honest. I've never thought he was really that guy. But, like, this is a tough look for him because, he hasn't stepped up at all. In fact, like, he's done the opposite.
And he's
it's not like Crosby and Malkin, you know? Like, when Crosby would have his concussion problems or whatever, Malkin would go crazy for, like, 6 months.
Nope.
That is not what's happening here.
And I remember it was 2 years ago. It was Dreisaitl being asked, why are you so pissy all the time? And I was in my parents' hotel room watching that press conference because we just had SportsCenter on or whatever, Sportsnet. Yep. And my parents were like, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, did I mention he's German? No, they were like, what? Why is he being like? And I'm like, you know, he is a bit of a hothead.
Yeah.
And like that doesn't help your game.
No.
If you're going around snapping at reporters and being upset about, you know, and even 2 years ago, they were doing quite well when he said that. When they were like, why are you always so pissy? I'm like, dude, you're in the playoffs. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. No, it's a disaster. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think they can still probably make the playoffs, to be honest, if they just get some goaltending. Not sure who that's going to be, but
I was just going to say, where's that coming from?
Ramson? Yeah, they're probably going to have to trade for it. But I mean, if they can go get.
Again, I'm on this train. Wool for McDavid, one for one.
It's a good trade.
Let's just
I like it. I think everybody wins.
You know what? Compromise? Wool for Dreisaitl. Okay, all right. Look, I'm giving him to you.
They have to take Klingberg back, though.
That's actually a good point. The salary would never work, damn it.
They have to take Klingberg. All right. It's been a lot of fun, man. I think we can probably wrap it up for this week, though.
Wait, before that, real quick.
Yeah, one more.
We got 4 minutes. Nylander, Wool, for McDavid.
Ooh, I like it. Let's do it. Actually, you know, why bother? Let's just wait a couple of years until he comes to Toronto as a free agent. We don't have to trade anything for him.
All right, fine, fair enough.
You want to sing us out, buddy?
Oh, yeah, you got it. It's Up to the Minors podcast. Jack Campbell is Tiny Nipples.